Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well. Good evening. And it's time for another edition of the National Black Unity News Radio Show. It's a weekly broadcast. Comes on the airwaves every Monday night at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And we want to thank the 47,000 plus listeners who have tuned into a show here on Blog Talk Radio, truly making this on the Home Based Business 101 network of Blog Talk Radio, truly making this listener supported radio. Without our listeners, I don't know what we would do. Nobody would be listening to us. So, bottom line is, we thank you for all of those that have tuned into a show here before in the past. And going to start off as we do every time we come on these airways with reading Daily Motivations for African American Success. Today's story is called A Soldier Story, July 15th. Quote, "Don't be upset if your dreams don't come true. It could be the best thing that ever happened to you," unquote. Sarah Belafonte, actress. An old man who had been beaten and robbed on an old country road was rescued by three soldiers. In an effort to show his appreciation, he granted each soldier one wish. Quote, "Before you decide," he counseled, "be very cautious. You only get one wish." The first soldier, who was poor, requested riches. By the time he got the words out of his mouth, a trunk full of treasures appeared at his feet. The soldier thanked the old man and headed for home with his newfound wealth. As the old man closed his eyes, he saw that that soldier would have many friends and the best that money could buy. But he could also see that one day that soldier's riches would run out, leaving him both penniless and without friends. The second soldier was very ugly. He desired good looks. As soon as he made his wish, the soldier felt his face change. He had indeed become handsome. He too thanked the old man and left for home to show everyone his new face. As the old man closed his eyes, he saw the soldier would live happily and would be quite popular. But he could also see the day when the soldier would grow old and his looks would vanish. Not only would he lose his friends, but he would be ugly again. The third soldier was both poor and ugly. He also made his wish, sincerely thanking the old man and went home. As he left, the old man closed his eyes and saw that this soldier would remain poor and ugly all of his life, but he would live in peace, for his wish was simply to be happy with whatever he had. "Today I will no longer search for happiness. Happiness can never be found because it was never lost. Happiness is within me." So that's so important for us to search for that happiness that's within us, because too often we can run around, quote unquote, trying to do this, trying to do that, searching for the pursuit of happiness. And happiness has to already be inside of you. So, you know, that's our take for the day in terms of our thoughts for the day and how they apply to us. Mr. Murphy, you on the line? Hello, 559-7479. Okay, there it is, they drop. All right, wait for Mr. Murphy to join us. What we want to do tonight is have a discussion around an issue that impacted our community back in the early 60s, or late 50s, early 60s, and that was if people was on welfare or social services, that, you know, they would give aid to women with children but no man could be in the house. And that was the first way to literally destroy and come up with the destruction of the black family. And so, you know, that's an important issue to understand how that impacted our communities and how that left people in position where, you know, hey, you was damned if you do, damned if you didn't, you know what I mean? Bottom line is, if you're a man and you can't be in the house in order for your family to receive help, put you in an awkward, awkward situation. So, you know, that really held some families back, you know. And that was like, you know, blacks in modern day urban areas have seen a world of changes it would not necessarily have been making. As industrial jobs began disappearing from cities, many black men found themselves back in positions of economic helplessness, without the kinds of jobs that allowed a man to support a family. To survive, many families turned to the government welfare system for subsistence. In her commentary, Black Females Raising Black Males, Dr. Arvelet Malvo described the ramifications of the welfare state on black families. Now, during welfare days, early 60s, when black families were able to get welfare, black families with dependent children were allowed at welfare, but there were stipulations. No man could be in the house. The welfare agency monitors this situation, and agencies randomly search the female's home at any time of day or night. Many black men left their homes so that their families could survive. Many were put out of the home, and their families broke up because of money. This was the first destruction of the black family since slavery. So, you know, I mean, there's things that have taken place in our community. I mean, and if we go back to the movie Claudine, you know, we see how the whole welfare state impacted the black community. You know, other external factors contributing to the dissolution of black families during the dawn of the welfare era. A few years later, black men began disappearing from the homes and communities in disproportionate numbers. Drafted to fight in the Vietnam War and returning home broken men, this was followed by a devastating crack epidemic, with lopsided discriminatory sentence for minor crimes that led to further destruction and abandonment of black families, black lives, families, and communities, creating the badass boy and the love-starved girl. Our family crisis is inseparable from black male-female identity crisis, and brainwashing has left a great many of us fearful, confused about our identities, hopelessly caught in a cycle of relationships and underachievement. Too many black men are still stuck in roles ultimately dictated by slavery, some living up to the expectation that they are irresponsible, take pride in making babies knowing they can leave without stressing about the outcome of their actions. Black boys are not the only recipients of psychological and physical trauma inflicted on their emasculated fathers. Vulnerable black daughters seeking love and validation from the first man in their lives are often left to fend for themselves, relying on their mothers or society to define black manhood for them. Like their mothers, girls are sadly with feelings of disillusionment and disappointment in black men that often becomes a permanent fixture on their psyches. On the other hand, the parent spectrum, many black women have been brainwashed to be active enablers of irresponsible men, supporting the unhealthy behavior of their mates, leading to future relations fraught with unnecessary drama. As the old saying goes, black men have been brought up by mothers conditioned to raise their daughters and spoil their sons. For many black mothers without committed male partners, the son becomes the little man whom the mother overindulges and neglects until he gets to be the age where she can no longer handle him. Rationalizing that he is indeed a man, she submissively allows the boy to come and go as he pleases. Poor young black women with little education pay the greatest toll. Many are tragically retro, stuck in past where women had little control over their sexuality. Following the footsteps of their female ancestors, they are brainwashed into believing that motherhood is the means by which they can validate themselves. Having babies with no resources is seen as a way out. This distressing pattern must be acknowledged and addressed if we ever want an inkling or a chance to foster strong black families. When I was 12, I decided my goal in life was to get pregnant and move to the projects. Thought a baby would be someone that I could care for, someone who would love me and would never leave me. That's from a quote from a young girl named Leah. And so, you know, we see how this destruction in the black community, you know, has been manifested and impacted in our communities. Mr. Murphy, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Fine, doing fine. Just discussing issue of how during the 60s, late 50s and early 60s, one of the resources for the black family was to be able to get on welfare, or what we call today social services. And back in those days, they had a thing where there could not be no man in the house. And by not having no man in the house, and how they would search the house. And, you know, it's a good movie. I believe the name of the movie was Claudine.
Yes.
That was the issue. Mm-hmm. And that you know, that was a very, very interesting and good movie. And, you know, but I just wanted to sort of talk about this whole, even when we seek out assistance from the government, they have plans that are set up, designed to still keep us in jeopardy. One of the first ways of destroying the black family was through the welfare policy this government had. And I just finished reading some things out of a book that I'm going through called Brainwashed by Tom Burrell, Challenging the Myth of Black Superiority. And, you know, basically tries to point out that these are systematic approaches to keep us under the thumb of this society, not providing opportunities that will enable us to adequately support, take care of our families, and do the things that we needed to do. And even when we turn to assistance, you know, they have stipulations that really was designed to destroy our family structure. So any thoughts you have about that?
Well, yes. When you first mentioned that, the first thing that came to my mind was the reflection on that movie, Claudine. And but I recall many families when I was coming up had to hide and you know, denounce men from being part of the family in order to get assistance. Even though we, you know, this country was built on our backs, you know, some may call, you know, like a form of reparations or whatever you want to call it, but they kind of make picture it as if black folks are the main ones on this. But unfortunately, they're three or four times more white folks on assistance than we are. And, you know, but they don't want to, you know, drum on the point. They always try to make it look like we are the bottom feeders and we're the ones who are the most recipient from it. But you know, when you look at the overall picture of this, when you won't hire black men, you'll hire a black woman quickly, but you won't hire the black man, then you demonize him for not able to support his family. Even to the up until this day and time, you even put him in jail because he's unable to pay. Now, how are you going to pay if you put him in jail? Still, how are you going to pay? And so, you know, it's a catch-22 that we find ourselves in. I see somebody trying to chime and trying to say something, or is there something else? But in any case, this system is not geared toward our success.
And he's showing me. Well, he's showing me. I'm listening to his part. Well, you know, you got somebody on there. You talking to him. Yeah.
Whoever's on the line, we can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, shit.
Hello? Mr. Murphy? Mr. Bill?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I just dialed in.
Okay, I don't know if that was your background, but somebody, you know.
No, it wasn't my background.
Okay. But in any case, how you doing? Yeah, for some reason, yeah, because you're kind of just breaking up something, you know. But in any case, getting back to that subject matter, Brother Sakai, the whole system, I believe, from my perspective, is geared towards not in our favor. Even, this thing against men, black men, the programming or documentation of black men doing this and horrible things, putting us in jail, not hiring us, you know, they catch us, like I said, a catch-22. Damn if you do and damn if you don't. And psychologically, it's a hurting thing because, you know, when I was coming up, especially in my teen years, you know, I was kind of I like elderly people, you know, the guys I used to hang around with, you were 10, 12 years older than me. And I used to listen to their stories. These were young men. They in their 20s and 30s and stuff like that. And they had families. And, you know, some of them went to school, but they still didn't get premium jobs. You know, they always got the lowest paid jobs. I don't care how skillful they were. And they would only select one or two out of us that really got some type of pay. But even then, they wasn't getting fair treatment. And these brothers used to almost cry on my shoulder sometimes because they were so upset because they couldn't just do the basic thing, take care of their family. Or when they was working, they still didn't have enough to, you know, pretty much sustain the family. So a lot of them brothers end up being alcoholics or on drugs or try to rob and steal to support their family, or you sell drugs to support their families. And so, again, no matter what role we seem to take, it always seems like it's a pipeline to jail or it's a pipeline to poverty. And so this is the system, and, you know, all the way from Jim Crow, slavery, even up until this day and time, where we are disproportionate in penal institutions. Then they got private companies getting benefiting off our backs again, just like they did in slavery. And so if you look at the pattern of what's taking place, man, ain't nothing changed. But the only thing going to change this system is going to have to be us. We're going to have to change within our own ranks and our own ways. You know, we had no longer have to depend on somebody else to do for us. Now, how can you do that when the cards are stacked against you? You know, it's a number of ways, but it starts with that man in the mirror. You know, each individual has to do what he best can, and we're going to have to learn to come back like we was in the 60s when we was calling ourselves becoming conscious, being supportive of our people, loving our people, being proud that you black, being proud. I'm black and I'm proud. And when you seen the brother, I don't care who he was and where he was, you threw that fist up there just identifying one another. You know, we had that type of love for one another. Our music portrayed love and unity. And we had all of those type of forces, but through a concerted effort that was destroyed. But, you know, this is David Murphy speaking again. I take fully claim about what I'm saying is, why they are fighting, white folks are fighting each other right now. There are big battles going on with billionaires right now. You're going through the Clintons and the the Trumps and this guy who folks been a pedophile and the Mullers and everybody else, Robert Kraft. They run around here messing with little girls, don't know, but they've been doing that for years. They mess with our women. Ain't nothing new about the way they operate. And sex trafficking and all them other things that they involve. That's their MO. Their people been doing that forever. Now they just getting corporate when they fight amongst themselves now. This is the perfect time for us as the people to start uniting, start working together, and start supporting one another. All things are possible, I believe. I believe that if we put our minds together, our resources together, and we can turn this thing around. Like I say, while they are fighting amongst themselves, we have to build our own institutions. See, we did it before. Ain't nothing new under the sun. We built colleges, institutions. We invented all sorts of things, and we still had that same vernacular, the same fortitude, the same know-how. It's just that there's all types of forces that are working against us, and we got to learn to stop depending on other people, what we can do for ourselves. Back to you, Brother Sakai.
Yes, sir. That's so true. The guy you was talking about, his name is Jeffrey Epstein. And the thing is, as we talked about on this show, you know, when we was going through the whole R. Kelly thing, and then Beyond Neverland, two documentaries that came out, and how Oprah and Gayle King, queens of TV talk shows, you know, how they, you know, jumped on R. Kelly and Michael Jackson, who's no longer here to defend himself, and make them the face of pedophilia for America, when we got these billionaires that have always like having sex with children. I mean, it reminds me, like I say, all the way back to the days when I left this country, went all the way overseas, and was stationed in the Philippines, and you know, there was things that we got into, but the thing I can say about the brothers was that when it came to wanting to have sex with someone, is that, you know, we wanted to have sex with a woman. You know, we weren't interested in, like, the white boys. They wanted to have sex with 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds, you know. You know, it's very, very interesting that dynamic exists. And then how these billionaires, like the guy Jeffrey Epstein, I was reading today that part of what he is being charged with, his new charge, and he had been convicted before, but his new charge has to deal with him raping a 14-year-old girl, you know, and that's, you know, that's some serious stuff. But they, you know, they get their kicks off, they get their jollies off fooling around with children, and you know, there's some people that have some different thoughts about that, but I'm just saying is that that's, you know, in terms of the white male psyche, is they prefer a child over a woman.
Well, I'm going to say this, you know, based on just MO, you know, you can't categorize everybody in one boat, but, you know, it's part of their vernacular when they do these unnatural type of things that they do, not only with little girls, but men and everything else, orgies, everything else they like to do, you know, wife swapping and all the whole nine yards that a lot of them are into, that is foreign to us as a people. You know, we wouldn't raise up that type of way, you know, and certain things were just off limits, you know, to us, you know, and unfortunately, because when you start mingling with main groups of people, you take up their habits sometimes. And that's why you see things like on the internet, the porn industry is so huge and everything else, you know. And because the mind, like I say, I believe, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm no scientist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. But when you come from, like I say, I mean, the original man, and we all know the original man was a black man, black people. And then when you start diluting it from his original presence, and all these other races come along as they go deeper and deeper down the chain, it loses some of its originality. It loses some of its power, its glory. And anytime you dilute anything, it's not as strong as the original. And I believe as people have degenerated from generation to generation, the mindset has degenerated as well into sick thinking, you know, and not natural thinking. And anytime people, another people, other people who can enslave another people and do all of them things that they had done to us, be the separating our family. It hasn't changed. Look what they're doing today. The president of the United States separating families. See, this is nothing new to them. This is normal activity. We see to us it's shocking. It's oh my God, they do this? No, they did that to us. And see, some things is going full circle now. See, like I say, what's done in the dark will be brought into the light. And America is being revealed. And if you don't look at it from a biblical standpoint of view, man, it looks like it's doomsday coming upon us, because we look actually just like Sodom and Gomorrah, based on the Bible theory of it. And destruction is surely coming, because today I sit up there and watch a food conference with the four congresswomen, the black women, women of color, put it that way, and how the president told them to go back to where they come from, you know, and from the Republican standpoint, you can't get a peep out of nobody. Nobody, oh, no, I mean, you know, he straight up, then he come out and verified. Yeah, I say go back to their country. If you don't like it, here, go, get out. Now, like they came from here themselves. You know, that's how arrogant their thinking is. That's how sick and depraved their mindset is. So when you're dealing with a person who thinks like that and act like that and do the same type of things they're doing, and then half our people want to emulate them, then we're in trouble. And so, you know, I'm saying this to my people, to black people, people of color, melanated people, original people. Look, you know, sometimes, you know, if you take a real look at things, man, sometimes, like I say, I tell you this often, you need to really look within yourself. See, God put within every man, woman, and child a set of talents. And he also set a rules of laws. Like I said, there's natural laws, there's God laws, and there's man laws. And we have to operate in all three of them, but God laws is the highest law. And in every man, there's an ability to know right from wrong. And we know right from wrong. You know, it's in our DNA. We know when we're going left and when we're going right. And so, you know, it's time for us to start doing some inward thinking. Because, like I said, it's a serious time that you want to take care of your family. You want to provide. And you know, if you don't know by now, nobody, I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it until I die, nobody going to do for us what we are able to do for ourselves. So we got to stop looking for handouts, for social services. The want to be on the other side, the grass looks green on the other side, want to be like a group of people. Why do you want to emulate something that wants to destroy you and don't want to be with you, don't even want you around them? And so we got to stop thinking that kind of way, thinking everything all right. The handwriting is on the wall, ladies and gentlemen. It is what it is. If you can't see, you need to open up your eyes. Because if you run around here blind, that's why we're in the predicament that we're in. That's why you see some of this drugged out alcoholism. Man, you know, like I say, people, we're going to have to do better. And like I say, you look within yourself, man, and you can't change the world, but one person you can change, and that's you. And if enough of us start changing ourselves, changing our mindset, changing our way of thinking and acting and doing, we need to go cross town to go support another black man. We have to stop that self-hatred. If you look at all these other ethnic groups out there, they support one another. No matter how, they can't stand one another. Jewish people, if you talk to them, they can't stand each other sometimes. But I guarantee you one thing they will do, they will support one another because they understand the principle of their survival. They understand the importance of building their own schools, supporting their own businesses and services for the keeping of their family, their history. And we're going to have to learn to do them things, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's a serious time. This is no joke. This is some serious times. And we're going to have to take heed to it. Back to you, sir.
All right, we'll go to the call line, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Caller 473-7912. You on the air. You have any comments, anything you want to share to the dialogue discussion? Here we go to another caller then. Caller 221-0392. You'd like to contribute to the discussion?
Don't be shy. Speak up.
I would like to say this. Any of my callers got anything to say?
Who's speaking? Who's speaking? Who's dialogue? Who's sharing?
I don't know. It sounds like it may be a delay or something going on. It sounds like that's Vernon Streeter was trying to say something. But for some reason, you're coming in and out. You might want to redial back in, Vernon, if that's the case.
All right.
But in any case, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the time to be silent, because everybody has a voice and opinion about this and that. And myself, I'm always a student. You know, I'm always willing to learn. But like I said, I've been on this earth for some time now, and I don't know it all. But I've been around long enough to know, and I have enough experiences in life. I had dealt with racism firsthand. And, you know, see, that's why I do the things that I do. See, that's why I published the National Black Unity News. That's why I published the Informer newspaper back in the day. That's why I started my discount business and service, Togetherness Unlimited, and all of these things and institutions that I built was based on bringing us together, you know, creating unity amongst ourselves. And while we're at the top of the hour, I just want to take a station break for a moment and to share a little information on what's taking place with the National Black Unity News. The National Black Unity News is a nationwide circulated black newspaper. And the you can get the publication online, or you can also get a subscription to the publication by dialing 443-455-2373, or you can go to our website, www.thenationalblackunitynews.com, and it's a publication for us and it's by us. It's a solution oriented publication, and it's a quarterly. And we're asking everybody, if you know a black business or service, you need to tell them about us and let them check us out, and you will see that it's a unique publication. And it's a powerful information in there that can enhance your quality of life. So I encourage you, because we're about to move to another level in this publication, and I encourage you, while you can still get in at a very extremely reasonable rate, you need to call us now and join forces with us, because it's critical times. We're going to take critical people, critical thinking to get us where we need to go, so that, again, we can start rebuilding our institution, building stronger communities, and building, most important, a stronger future for our children. Back to you, Brother Satan.
All right, this is Vernon Streeter. You have something you wanted to share to the dialogue?
No, sir. I'll dial back in. Okay. I'm just enjoying the conversation that you guys are having, giving out valuable information to our communities.
Okay. 443-221-0392. You have anything you want to contribute to the dialogue? Okay, I'll mute you back out. Yes, sir, David. You know, we got a long ways to go. And some people say a long ways to go and a short time to get there. And, you know, I'm just excited about pushing forward every day to do the things that we need to do to enhance our community and enhance our people. And I met with a young lady today, and, you know, she shared with me some stuff that she wants to work on. She also bought a paper from me today, and one of my tax clients, she's supposed to be reaching out to you. Her name is, she has a life coaching business. I told her to give you a call so that, you know, we can get her in one of the issues coming up, because I know you're running out of space in terms of the amount of editors that you got, you know, coming on board. And soon there will be no more space in the paper, because we'll be, you know, we'll be at capacity. And the thing is, though, we don't like turning nobody away. But as David shared with y'all, if you're listening to this broadcast, make sure you reach out to Brother David Murphy so that we can get you on board with this exciting, exciting newspaper, because it is a valuable, valuable paper. And there's so much stuff that's covered in this newspaper. Just really looking forward to how to engage people and get information out. And it takes me back to, I think about Master P. Master P just released a new movie called, we're going tip of my tongue. Oh, man. I got the hook up too. And, he's got 126 speaking roles in this movie. And him and his son, Romeo, they financed the movie themselves, because he talked about the importance of black people learning how to finance and control the industry. He says, you know, we got this 5% black people involved in the industry and 95% of the other folks. Again, but we know that, you know, the media, you say all the time, baby, you know, we control less than 1% of the media. And in the filmmaking business, we control 5% or less, 95% being controlled by people that don't look like us. And then there's also, you know, a great book out, and I suggest people get it, called How the Jews Invented Hollywood. You know, they invented Hollywood so that they could push a social propaganda issue on the rest of the world. And so you got to get through their little clique and their little niches of folk in order to be able to even get a movie done. But they like having us in the film, but like some masterpiece in front of the camera, but not behind the camera. You know, production is where, you know, is where the control is, because he always talks about owning a product. That's one of the things that Master P talks about all the time. You know, he has some new sneakers out and stuff, and I don't remember the name of his sneakers, but anyway, but he, you know, he always was one of the people that was a step ahead. Folk, you know, he's originally from New Orleans, where I used to live. Lived for like 14 years. He's a legend in that town in terms of stuff that he's done. Because he's taken entrepreneurship to a whole nother level in terms of being one of the Mongols of hip hop, in terms of when the whole hip hop was beginning to get marketed and everything else. Master P was on the cutting edge, of that whole generation of folk that saw the market potential of hip-hop and began to deal with it. And part of him dealing with it was, as he shares in his story and his background and his history, is that he decided he was going to sell, he was selling music and stuff out of the trunk of his car. And ultimately he went from selling stuff out of the trunk of his car to putting together record labels and controlling production, you know, and he was the one that came up with the whole concept and idea of the artists owning their masters. Because if you know anything about the story of Prince, that Prince, he didn't own the rights to his masters. And he finally was able to buy them back a couple weeks before he mysteriously died of, quote unquote, a heart attack or pneumonia, whatever it was, riding his bicycle. And, you know, hey, and the whole thing of Michael Jackson and the Beatles catalog and the other people. And then, like, Tupac. Tupac died broke. Died broke. Had less than $15,000 in his bank account when he died. Look at all of the millions of dollars that's been made off of Pop since he passed, you know, since he transitioned. So we need to make sure that we understand the importance of, one, controlling the products that we market and making sure that we own the rights to those products and have them out there, you know. So, you know, so he talks about, again, and it's a good interview he did on the Breakfast Club. You can watch that on YouTube. He did this interview about I Got to Look Up To, Tyler Perry, something else is in the title marks. But, you know, he talked about him, you know, meeting Tyler Perry and you know, letting Tyler know that, hey, man, it's enough in this whole thing, this whole industry. There's enough for all of us to get our fair share. We're not in competition. You know, we don't control but 5% of the industry. You know, other people control 95%. You know, so I'm not competing against you. And the thing is, getting people to understand that message and being able to deal with it seems to be a difficult issue in our community, to get people to see that in our unity, even if we don't agree on everything, as long as we agree not to be disagreeable, there's enough money on the table for everybody to be able to walk away with, you know, a nice piece of change, as they would say in our community. So, and I just wanted to get that in because, you know, he talked about how they had a viewing at the Essence Festival. That's where he ran into Tyler Perry. They had a viewing of I Got to Look Up To, and he's got, you know, it's like he said in this movie, they got over 126 different speaking roles for people. It's like the most speaking roles in the history of a movie. So he gave a lot of people a place to be in this movie. I haven't seen it yet. I do plan on being able to go see it as soon as it hits up this area, or if I have to watch it online. But I'm definitely planning on going to see it. It's called I Got to Hook Up To by Master P and his son Romeo. And he talked about
That's
in
great.
The interview how his son Romeo and him, they put their money together. They put their money together to produce this movie that's going to have a tremendous impact, you know, on the black community, and also just the overall community for black people in terms of movie productions. So I'm really proud of him. And another side note is when I was coaching New Orleans Recreation Department back in the early 70s, Master P, who came through the NARD program, was a youth that happened to play basketball and baseball for one of the teams that we used to compete against, and was coached by one of the, my colleagues, and you know that he really at a young, you know, the young age, he could see that he was going to be something. And so, you know, he survived New Orleans Project, which at that time, you know, New Orleans used to be called the murder capital of America. terms of stuff that went on in the projects. You know, I mean, they, you know, Baltimore don't have nothing on New Orleans because they got the guns that come right in from the port, and they're not traceable. And so, you know, the thing is that in New Orleans, it's nothing. You know, in those projects that they had, they were like death camps. You know, so the thing is that, you know, I would just encourage people, go on YouTube, pull up Master P, and then watch some of the YouTube videos about Master P and how he accomplished what he accomplished, did what he did. But, you know, that's a salute out to a very, very distinguished person that has done a lot. And if people remember back in the day when Ricky Williams went into the NFL, Master P was the one that broke his contract. He was the one, he was the agent that got Ricky Williams' contract done and got him into the NFL. So, you know, Master P's done a lot. I call him a living legend. A living, living legend. Back to you, David.
That's right. All right, good. You know, speaking of Master P and people like that, you know, I'm sitting here right in front of me. I'm looking at hundreds of books written by black people. Black people. And each one of these books, because I've read them all, is this. They are movies. They are documentaries that could be produced. We have a lot of people now getting into the film industry now. See, all we have to do is look within our own ranks sometimes. You can find, I'm looking at books right now that will make great movies and put a lot of people away from the production to the actors to all the technical parts of it. And we got computers now, because even myself could actually put together a movie if I just took the time to do it on the computer by itself, you know, because of the technology these days. So really, you know, we spend billions of dollars going to watch other people's movies. And so here we are, we got hundreds and hundreds of books. Not just, that's a small percentage of what I have. I'm talking about all of these books out here written by black authors that could be produced into movies and documentaries that not only would educate us, but would liberate us when we find out the truth about us. And so it's a lot going on. See, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to look that far. You just have to use your creative geniuses, like Master P and a lot of Tyler Perry and a whole bunch of them out there. You know, like I say, both of them come to eat, sleeping in cars, and so there's no excuse for us. But when we put our mind to something, like I said, we are resilient people. And we all things are possible. And like I said, we all listen to the opposite of the media. The Ebony Jet is gone down. They were institutions. You know, why do we allow that to happen? Because other people come in there and spoil the grapes and stuff like that. You know, I'm just saying, we have to renew our minds. We have to reshape our thinking. Because, like I say, sometimes we always looking outside to see how we can make a way. But sometimes all of that, them gifts and talents that we possess within our own individual beings, ladies and gentlemen. And when you put your mind to work, this is how do you, Mama, I was telling you there's God laws, and I said there are natural laws. And in the natural law, when you put your mindset to work, I'm talking about natural laws, I'm talking about universal laws. When you put yourself, it's a thing out there, I don't know what to call it, or you can call it karma, you can call it, some people call it all kinds of things. But when you take a step in the right direction with your gifts and talent, all of a sudden, see, like the whole universe will open up to you. The right people come along. All the tools and stuff that you need will come along. If you believe in what you're doing, you will always find a way of getting around that mountain or going through it. And so, like I say, it's really no excuse. You know, like I say, you need to give yourself a chance. You really need, like I say, look within your own ranks, look within your body, look around you. In this issue of the National Black Unity News, I took the liberty, because I'm the publisher of the publication, to put my own brother and sister on the front page. And even within the race of my own family, ladies and gentlemen, there was so much gifts and talents within my own family members. And I just lost a sister last month. And I look at her lifestyle. My sister, she had been battling cancer over 30-some years, one type of cancer after another. But when you saw her, when you went to her presence, you would never know that she was sick, the way she carried herself. And she was still out there trying to help other people, help her church out there, help people, other cancer victims, helping her mother who was, you know, my mother who's elderly and everything like that. And yet she carried it with such dignity and grace. I had a brother who he's been dead for, since 1999. But even his Lord, he ended up being, he's an old tough guy, but he ended up being what some might call an OG, a gangster. He led the street lifestyle, you know, but he was, he even went around, he even became a stick up artist. And he ended up being addicted to drugs, but he used drugs so hard it almost killed him. And he had all kinds of abscess on his body and arms and stuff. It took him hours just to find a place to even shoot drugs. That's how bad he was. But once he got clean, did you know he sponsored over 100-something people in the NA and AA program? He was like a Pied Piper going around. And some of the hardest core people you ever want to meet, when they met J.C., J.C. was able to assist them to help them make up their mind to clean their lives. And a lot of these brothers and sisters are around today because J.C., through the grace of God, and my brother assisted them. And these people are right now, some of these people are in politics, some of the biggest, criminal powers in this city and stuff, you know, that he sponsored them. Some pastors, they're all over the place. But see, this just goes to show you, no matter how low you can get in life, with faith and fortitude and look within yourself and the grace of God, you can get yourself out. No matter what situation you're in, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully. No matter where you are, what state of life you're in right now, you can change it. Everything you have, you got it within yourself. It don't take money all the time. It takes fortitude. It takes creativity. To work on your gifts. You can get on a computer later and learn almost about it. You can become a rocket scientist just by sitting in front of a computer. You can build, you become a captain of industry. You got all kinds of YouTube videos to show you step by step how to do this and how to do that. So there ain't no excuse, I don't know, and I don't know where to get information at. Information is at your fingertips right now. With that information that's out there and the gifts that you have within yourself, you merge them two or merge them two together, you got one powerful force. And then there's another thing. With God on your side and you doing the right thing, then you are unstoppable. And all things are possible. But see, ladies and gentlemen, see, it's up to you. Like I said, you can't look on what someone else going to do for you. Like Brother Satavi started this conversation off by talking about social services, how they separate the men from the families. But like I said, that's old school stuff because they did that in slavery and everything else. Right now, they still doing it today at the people in the borders and everything else. Now, ICE is running all over the country trying to get people separating families. That's what they do. That's their mindset. But see, they're going to do them. It's time for us to start doing us. Let them do them. Some things that you can't change, but one person you can change, and that's yourself. And so I'm encouraging you. I'm crying out to you right now because this is critical times. A lot of people are hurting and going through so much devastation in their life right now. And we're looking for somebody from the outside that thinks you're going to change. And if you think this government is going to do, you got a second thing coming. You see what your government is doing. You see what the President of the United States is saying about you and how he don't care about you, how he don't care about children. It's all about them and what they want, you know. And so you got to wake up and smell the coffee because it's serious times. But then again, you got everything you need. You need God. You need the talents and gifts that God gave you. You need to put those talents in nurture. I don't care how old you are. Hey, I'm 68 years old. I'm just beginning. I'm just starting out again. I got all types of aspirations. I'm looking to do great and wonderful things in my life. I got work to do. I got grandchildren. It ain't all about me either. It's about leaving a legacy, building a legacy, starting a legacy. Leave an inheritance. Let people know that you was here. Let your life not be in vain. Let your life be in vain. Let your life count. Nobody in this world is like you, or there can never be another one before you or after you. You're unique in your own way. So there ain't no excuse for you. Stop crying on your shoulder. Stop running to drugs and alcohol. Stop sitting up there to woe is me stuff. You know, it's time to pull our own self up now. Get your ass up. Excuse my expression. But it's time to do for yourself. And when you can do for yourself, then you can pull your brother up, your sister up. We need to start doing for each other. Ladies and gentlemen, we got everything we need. I'm looking at all these books on all of these subject matters. I'm looking at the National Black Unity News with all of these different people and all these different subject matters. People who care, generally care about you, who wants to help you. All of us not in the same position. You let that media portray that we ain't this and we ain't that, and half of us running around here believing that, running around here with self-hatred. Don't even like us. Don't even like yourself, really. Because you want to be like some, well, people that I would say close to, well, demons as you can get. Look at their lifestyle. Like I said, look at the ones, all the money they got. Look how depravitated their mindset is. Look at the president all the way down and his cronies and everything, how rotten and cruel they are. You want to emulate that? So I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, you better look to God. This is some serious time. If you want to take care of your families, take care of your children and your children's children, now is the time for us to wake up as a people. Those days of social services, handouts, they're not handouts. They're keeping you in bondage. That's what they were doing back then, and that's what they're going to continue to do today. And so, like I say, you know, no matter what your situation is right now, because there are certain situations, if you're on it right now, do what you can with it right now. Survive, live. But in the meantime, chart your course, chart your destiny in life. Nobody can do that but you. But when you take a stand, you'd be surprised at how many other people will come to your aid. That's why I started the National Black Union. You'd be surprised. Like I said, with all that, they came up with the idea, and I got hundreds of people that came and got involved with this publication just because it was a thought. And people will come to your aid, man. I guarantee you this. You put your mind, so as long as you ain't trying to hurt nobody or take abuse of nobody and you want to make a contribution to life, then people will show up. Opportunities will come. Like I say, you build it and the people will come, as they say. Ladies and gentlemen, I know we're getting close to the end of the hour, so I'm encouraging you again. Go to the National Black Unity News website. Sign up. Get a subscription or make a donation. Get a copy of the National Black Unity News, and you'd be surprised at all the information, the solutions that people have for you in there. And if you really want to get started, you don't know how, you can even call me. I'm going to open myself up to you. You can call me, David Murphy, at 443-455-2373. If you're looking for a sales opportunity, marketing opportunity, if you got a business or service, you want to get to the next level, you want to reach people all across this country, and everything, give me a call, because we can help you. That's what we're here for. That's why this show is on the air right now, because we're here not to put down this group or put down that group. We're here to assist you. Help me to help you so that we can help ourselves. Back to you, Brother Sakai.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, David, for that, and I appreciate you. And I just want to close out with, you get a chance, go to Netflix. There's a movie on Netflix called The Black Godfather, about Clarence Avant, and this guy, he had the hookup, man. I mean, he was a person that really helped a lot of people in the entertainment industry and whatever, created some record labels of his own, and ended up doing some stuff with Babyface and Jimmy Jam and I remember the other brother's name. But anyway, he was very, very much involved in the industry, and I had never heard of the guy, you know. And you know, but in the industry, you know, there was people that always used to say, you know, you got something you're working on, go see Clarence Avant. You know, and he, you know, he had a way that he did was he made sure that not only did he help you, but he made sure you got your fair market share. He says, you know, you need to be able to get what the white folks need to get. He says, you know, and just because we ain't come this far, you know, for, to take wages that are unfair. but it's a good, good movie. It's called The Black Godfather on Netflix. Get a chance, make sure you watch that, David. It made me think about you because you call yourself a servant of servants. I mean, and that's what he basically was. This man, you know, I saw me and my wife when we watched it, we saw a lot of you in him in terms of your unselfishness to help people. And, you know, and that's really a great gift and a great talent to have, to be unselfish about helping folks. So, again, I just want to thank you again for all you do for me and my family. And I know we got an event coming up on August the 10th. We are partnering with Black Professional Men. You want to share with
right.
people where that event's going to be?
Yes, it's going to be in Baltimore, Maryland at the War Memorial Plaza on August the 10th from 11 to 4. And yours truly, we'll be there. Matter of fact, I'll be on one of the panels. And Brother Satawi, his wife, and several other members of the National Black Unity News will have been to tables. It's a book event. And on October the 14th, we're having the National Black Unity News will be hosting a book fair on the author's event. And so, like I say, we out there on the front lines making difference and giving opportunities out and connecting with the community. And, again, give us a call. So get involved, you know, because, like I say, it's critical time right now. While they're out there fighting each other, we need to be coming together. Back to you, sir.
All right. I'm going to close out with our theme song called It's My Time. It's my time. It's our time.
Let the world know that I can't. Then I'll spend the All right. That concludes the night show. Until next Monday, good night. And we'll catch you all next Monday evening at 7:30.